Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I've been living in a field of corn and alfalfa. Grains and alfalfa, soybeans, the wheat we've had. Never hops. We should have started hops. We should have seen hops coming.
And the bulldog.
My God! I've been hanging out on the farm all these years. I got nothing. The barn's falling down. The poor American farmer is going broke. Nobody wants his milk. I was supposed to worry about the farm? Sell the farm!
On WGR.
I'm sick of the farm. I'm going to go into computers. That's what the future is. I'm going to move me out to Silicon Valley. That's where I need to be.
Sports Radio 550.
When was that, maybe?
That was before the Bills drafted Josh Allen. Maybe before they did any of the maneuvering they did that year to get up to where they ended up picking him seventh.
So it was a Bills point.
It was a Bills point, yeah. It was a Bills point about selling the farm to get a player, right? Selling all the draft picks, like doing, you know, just moving a lot of assets to get where you want to be to get the guy you want.
You want the Ducks to sell the farm.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking as I was playing. I'm like, Ducks, sell the farm. Kings, sell the farm. Wild, sell the farm.
Well, this rant is somewhat akin to your one good team rant. And you think about, like, those teams, how right are they for that sort of thinking, right? Like Minnesota, we talked about them yesterday a lot. Whether they should be in sell the farm mode. I don't know.
Our guest wanted to sell the farm.
Yeah, he brought up like Byron Buxton.
Right, he brought up the Twins.
Cousins or somebody. Like he, but that's real. That's real. You're a fan, and those are all your teams, and we never win, so what will it take?
Right, we're always waiting for the guy that's coming, is supposed to be good, and then you hang on to him too long, and he turns into, I don't know, Byron Buxton, was that a really good example of that? I mean, like, don't want to trade this guy, and then, you know, what?
Right, for Cliff Lee.
He's just a guy,
yeah.
Turns out.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's nothing to report here yet. There have been a couple of interesting trades in the league. I think the goalie one, I was kind of jealous of that.
Yep.
But the Sabres really don't have the Bernier in that trade.
No, they don't. They don't have the anybody.
It wouldn't have been hard. It wouldn't have been hard to get a Bernier.
Well, they have Ullmark, but he's not Bernier. Like he doesn't have the track record and the experience. But he's
too good.
UFA.
Isn't the point that like Bernier? I don't know. Maybe not because he's not signed or anything. But
right.
Carolina traded a younger, better goalie who was going to cost them too much. That's interesting just alone.
Well, too much, like, for them, I guess.
Too much for them, right.
Right, $3.5 million?
I know.
Like, I feel like that is, like, look, they might, they're a big analytics team. They would have watched every second and maybe watched over and over every second that this guy played for them. And they might feel like he just is ripe for a dip. He had, you know, whatever, good circumstances. And it just worked out that he put up good numbers and they don't trust it. Like, I can respect that, but he you might be wrong about that. And $3.5 million, it's not like he's looking for 6 years and $8 million a year or something. Like $3.5 million, I don't know, where are you finding a starting goalie for less than that? And are you going to trust that guy more than this guy? I mean, maybe if he's got a longer track record, I suppose. But I don't know. I thought it was weird. I mean, I could try to defend it. I think I just did. But I still think it's weird because the money ask was not that substantial.
No, what's the plan there? Well, I mean, that's a really good club. Is the plan there to try to sneak through with goalie? Are they going to move? Because they don't have anybody under contract now. They're all UFAs. They're going to need to go. They're kind of the Sabres. You know, they'll need to go get somebody, but that's a winning team.
Right.
Like, they just had a chance this year, and then Tampa took them out, and Tampa won again. So maybe they might have bigger problems. If they do, I mean, I'm totally on the phone with them for whatever. What do you need here? Like, what does Carolina need? Yeah. What do they want to do? Who do they want to get rid of that's good or expensive? Like, I should be able to take money. I don't know if my team wants to add money. I wonder about that, and we'll have some sort of conclusion to draw on that in the next couple of weeks, I guess. So, yeah, I was a little bit jealous of that because that was a team looking to save money and, you know, are we just done with this? Like, don't we want the Sabres to be a team that can take advantage of that? Like, real money.
Yeah, right.
But right. They don't seem so inclined, I guess.
No, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not anymore.
It was
cool
for like a minute.
Yeah, that's about it.
2 years, two, 3 years of that life.
But that's a goalie that would have been like sort of maybe sneaky. I would have had no idea. Like if we talked about him at any point, and I'm sure his name did not come up. I don't remember it coming up anyway. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I was off a lot in June. But if we'd ever talked about him, I would have been like, he's young and should be relatively inexpensive. Why would Carolina not keep him? And here we are. They decided not to keep him. And, like, I don't know. Are they worried about money?
Yes.
It appears
so. By the way, I don't think his name has come up yet in this conversation. Nedeljkovic.
Nedeljkovic, thank you very much.
Is his name. Yeah. That would have been cool for the Sabres. This is the kind of move, and also, like, what Seattle had access to. But I feel like I maybe overrated Seattle's dexterity yesterday because they didn't do anything else after we got done. Like, that was kind of a shock to me that they wouldn't have been able to sort of have been plotting some other moves, but I guess not. It is Botterill. I mean, I guess not. But the move Detroit made for this goalie is the kind of thing I'm thinking of, like in general, when I think that the rebuild of the Sabres in a post-Eichel era doesn't have to take that long. I mean, necessarily. You want to be super young here, but there are just extenuating circumstances all over the league all the time where you can, if you're all over it, I mean, at the risk of overdoing it with him, I feel like Brandon Bean would sort of be all over it. He might, if he follows hockey, he might just be incredulous to like what goes on in hockey. Like, come on. But nobody's broken football. Like, nobody's like, I wonder if their payroll is a question. Like, that's just a thing. There are a few ways to sort of, I think, come out ahead. It's Moneyball type things, if you will. That's not Moneyball. I guess it is literally. But, like, there's a variable that you might be able to take advantage of. And there's all kinds of how teams are different and how they measure players. You've just got these dinosaur type GMs like Benning in Vancouver who just sound like they don't even know anything about how sports has changed at all. They just like, how can we not beat teams like that? How can the Sabres not be better than teams like that? It's just unacceptable that you're not better.
Because they've been
the same.
Like that's who they've been, right?
That's right. And I don't know if they're not. Like, they've made some front office moves here too that make me want to think that they're not. But it also makes me think that they were, you know, before this summer. And I think that I would be the kind of fan who would be like that's evidenced in the standings, but doesn't have to be. It's such a close league. It's just like, you can make a trade like that. What did Detroit do there? Like, Detroit might be bad, but that's a big jump forward for them. You know, at the risk of being duplicitous about this, because goalies, I'm here to say all the time, too, goalies are up and down and up and down and up and down. This guy doesn't have to play at 928 save percentage or whatever every year.
To me, it's absolutely a thing worth trying. But you know, I don't know if it's gonna work. Carolina might be right. I mean, who knows, right? Like you say, he's a goalie. He might have just had a hot stretch, but you know, I still don't get not paying him that salary. you know, but nonetheless, I mean, yeah, it was definitely an idea worth going after, I think. How are we going to ever know if the Sabres even made a phone call on that? But, yeah, I mean, I think like, Detroit is Detroit behind Buffalo? I mean, I know Buffalo finished below them in the standings, but, like, where are they on their build? You know, I'm not exactly sure where they are. You know, like, they have been spinning their wheels, too. So, I don't know, like, if they're, like, thinking we've got goaltending solved for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's only a couple-year contract that they signed this kid to. So we'll see. I mean, I'm eager. I mean, I don't know who isn't, right? I mean, it's starting to be that sort of vibe where you just want to be near the radio, near Twitter, like just sort of on it because stuff is starting to happen and the first round of the draft is tomorrow. And like, I was out running errands this morning and I found out from Howard and Jeremy that there was a report that maybe Elliot or maybe it was Frank Saravelli said the Rangers are looking to get back into the top 10 so they can flip the pick to Buffalo. And I was like, okay, here we go. It's starting to happen. I mean, and that's only just they're trying. But I think that is what the next, you know, 24, 36 hours are going to be like. There's going to be that. We're all just sort of on edge waiting to see and hear something that's happening because the Sabres are, I mean, they are ready to offload pieces that should be of great interest and value in the league.
That, by the way, is another thing about hockey that drives me nuts with trades and or the lack thereof. Like, we would like to move up. The Flyers GM has a quote just now about, oh, well, I'm more open to moving up than I've been. The thing is, tomorrow night, like, by the way, again, Bean, what did Bean do toward Allen? He made a trade like a month early. You could do that, you know, in hockey. Like, you couldn't have done it yesterday, I guess, but you could have done it a month ago. Like, you know what? Look, the way this is going, let's do this. You know, I do that in fantasy all the time. Sort of, you try to get into position, and I don't know, just hockey draft pick trades, if they happen at all, happen at the deadline. At the trade deadline, when a team decides to trade for Jason Zucker or somebody, like there goes a first round pick. Okay, but when else? And you know, maybe tomorrow. But boy, like we both have seen lots of times where like we're sort of amped up for moves, and there weren't any moves. Also on the Rangers, we had this morning a report that the Rangers have still not gotten some medical information from the Sabres or some permission that was necessary. Maybe you saw that. Like, why would that be?
I don't have an explanation for that.
If it's correct, right?
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, it really, to me, would not make sense if there's no concern, like if there's nothing to hide. It sort of infers that there's something to hide, right?
Maybe.
And that you know that would be a big concern. But I don't want to assume that if maybe there's some other reason that I don't know about. You know, privacy-wise, I have no idea. But you'd think, frankly, if Jack Eichel likes the idea of going to the New York Rangers, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they get in trouble if they share the information with the Rangers. But for crying out loud, his agent
sure
is the same agent that Chris Drury had when he was a player. I don't know if he still has this agent as a manager now.
As far as I know, he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, are you telling me the Rangers don't know the health of Jack Eichel?
I know, right?
I mean, how naive are you? I mean, there's 100% no chance that they don't know exactly what's going on with him because of that agent connection. No one will want to say it, but I mean, come on.
Well, someone wanted to say that they didn't.
Right.
And that, you know, so Larry Brooks was the reporter on that, and his conclusion in the tweet was, so they're not close on a deal because they don't have this sort of level of cooperation from the Sabres. What would be the agenda there? Like, I don't see why the Rangers would need to operate here in some sort of stealth manner. You can want the player, you know, it would be better. The Sabres want that. The Sabres would want everybody to know that there are all these teams working toward this, all this, you know, bidding war. The Rangers on the other side of that coin, like the Rangers or any one of those teams doesn't need to hide from. I don't know, is there a player they have to sign, or is there some reason why they want to be able to say, oh, we never wanted him. If he goes somewhere else, like, you don't have to be like that if the player was never yours in the first place. So anyway, like, there's always, I think it's usually worth thinking that way. Like, well, why would this reporter have done this? You know, especially when it's national guys who really help the teams. Like, that's what they're out there doing. They're sort of working for the teams, working for the league to get, you know, the information spread around in certain ways. Philly, I mentioned their GM, a quote from him. Is it Fletcher?
Yep.
So there's some speculation about the Flyers and Ristolainen or even Reinhart. Mm-hmm. And they made this trade, Gostisbehere to Arizona with picks for nothing. Shouldn't be called a trade. That's not a trade.
It's a cap dump.
It is a dump.
It's a dump.
Or a gift.
A favor.
It's a favor. I don't need, right. It's something else. It's not a trade, though. You don't get anything back. That's not trading. Trading is necessarily this for that. There's no that. But okay. So the Flyers clear room, and they, you know, Gostisbehere is, to me, a player who was never great. Like, he had the good / lucky, or good parentheses lucky, start to his career, but really, like, did not ever, after that, once the luck dissipated, did not, like, sustain as an elite player. He got paid, and now he got traded because he wasn't what he was getting paid. Go figure. Right. So they made room there.
$4.5 million they cleared just with that. I mean, and Ristolainen is like 5.4, and they already had cap room, so they've made more. Everything that's happening, I'm looking at going, okay, could that be a thing there? Is that, you know, right? Right. Even Carolina, did Carolina not want to pay their goalie because they're conserving cap room for something else? Are they a team to watch for one of these guys? Everybody that's doing anything that looks like clearing room, in advance of tomorrow, and then in advance of, you know, a week from when is free agency, the 28th. So we're
Wednesday.
We got a lot of stuff that's about to happen in a league where, you know, money is tight, both like as far as a resource within an organization, like cash, and the cap staying flat is challenging. So teams that want to make moves have got to find ways to make room.
Well, I will necessarily and happily even take your advice and stay near the radio here today, just in case this is the day. Really, right. Today and tomorrow, there ought to be stuff. I mean, do you feel any reason that you haven't said, like, that you're sort of expecting something or not?
No, I don't have any. No, I expect something simply because, you know,
it's needed.
I think by 7 o'clock tomorrow, an option for trades that teams may be more willing than normal to make as far as first round picks go being included. Again, I've made this point a few times because of scouting and just the uncertainty you might feel organizationally about the prospects because some of them didn't even play, and like it's a very touchy year for the draft, and maybe teams feel like, you know, the first round pick is not worth what it normally is. So fine, you want me to include that in a Jack Eichel trade or a Sam Reinhart trade or a Rasmus Ristolainen trade even, you know, fine. We might be more willing to part with that than we would be in a normal year. And so once that, if we get to 7 o'clock tomorrow and this still hasn't happened, specifically with Eichel, I think that's the focal point, because I think you're looking at a package of stuff that would almost certainly include a high first round pick in this draft if you are dealing with the right teams. Then I think an opportunity has gone by the boards, you might have a harder time getting as much from teams because they might be more reluctant to part with first round picks next year because they might feel some confidence that they're going to have a normal opportunity to scout and figure out who they like and don't like.
Right. All three guys are different, the three big ones for the Sabres. Eichel, yes. I think the key point is the beginning of the draft. Everybody seems to think the Sabres are focused on adding a pick near the beginning of the draft. They, of course, have the first overall pick as well. And Eichel seems to be worth a package that might include that. So there is kind of, you know, not your deadline, but that's my thinking on him, is by 7 o'clock or shortly thereafter when it's somebody else's turn. Once I get through the first round, then I'm going to wonder.
Yep.
Then you have Ristolainen, who neither guy needs to be traded, literally, but I could sooner see a scenario where Ristolainen's on the ice. And they try to, again, get what they think he's worth, you know, into the season, the deadline maybe. You know, they're not going to have, if Eichel and Reinhart are traded, they'll probably need to spend some money. He does that for them, and maybe he's somebody that they can wait on, or they think so. They also, with this Borgen development in the expansion draft, I mean, maybe they're going to want to look good on Ristolainen after that, right?
Yes, I would think so, yes.
You don't accomplish looking good now, you're just going to, you might want to keep waiting. I just think that's within the range of outcomes on him. And then Reinhart, I mean, listen to Elliot there in the update.
I've been saying that for a week now or more, right? Like you need, like he's a value, but you got to find the right partner because he's got leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a little, you know, it makes it touchier, I think. You know, you got to like find a match there because he can just absolutely do to any team you want to trade him to what he might be doing to you or what we think he's doing to you, which is saying I'm not signing anything more than my qualifying offer. And that would put a real drag on return. You know, I mean, how would we feel if the Sabres were shopping for that player? We'd be like, you're not making that trade unless you're getting a contract extension.
Right.
Right. The exception was Skinner because he cost so little when that happened. Like, I mean, that trade did not come with a contract extension, of course, and then he had a 40-goal year and won the lottery to the tune of $9 million a year. But you didn't give up so many assets that it, you know, but that there's the example. Like, what do you pay for a dependable, provably good 5-on-5 goal scorer who only has 1 year left on his contract? The answer is Cliff Poo and some draft picks. That's what you pay. And, like, does anybody want that for Sam Reinhart? No. You want pieces that you're going to move forward with, or a piece that you can move forward with. And, you know, that didn't come anywhere close. I mean, they're different players. Reinhart, I think, now is maybe, at least to the Sabres, has proven he can play center. So, you know, there's some value there. But, yeah, you don't clean up on a trade if the guy does not agree to sign an extension with you.
But he is good. And also with Elliot Friedman, there are lots of teams, like, or several, whatever. You have numerous interested parties when it comes to him. So all three are different. Maybe, you know, time-wise and just like who the player is, what the Sabres' agenda might be for each guy. Really interesting, but I don't know. Sorry, again, to say, like, we don't have a result for you yet on anything. We just are just continuing to speculate. That's still where we're at. 803-0550 is our number if you want to weigh in as we look to get connected with our fans. Thanks to a full-service Buffalo law firm, Bond, Schenick, and King. We'll look for your calls as we go. Paul Hamilton today and Sal Capaccio. We'll talk about this NFL memo, the latest, I don't know, threat from the league to see the players get vaccinated. And, of course, the Bills have the guy in the league who's been the most vocal on that subject. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think Philly's not in on Eichel anymore, but I do think Philly talked about maybe Reinhardt and Risto, but now that they've got Ellis, I would think they're probably out on that.
Elliot Friedman stopping by this morning. The instigators on WGR, find it at the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. That can be entire shows, interviews, and more. Is there more? Yesterday, we...
There's polls.
Polls, right.
Sorry.
Wheel of teams.
Yep.
Yesterday, I mentioned I wanted to think of exactly the right movie to watch with my 11-year-old son last night. Like, what would be a little bit grown up, maybe funny, maybe sort of a classic, you know, nothing with... Nothing animated, not the Simpsons movie, just something like that I would want to watch and I think he would like. And the idea, a friend of mine, Chris, texted me, I don't know, like maybe 8 o'clock last night, and I hadn't even gotten together with my son yet at that time, with the movie that I ended up going with. And I'm still not sure how it went over. I really couldn't read him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he watched it with me. He stayed up till 11. We watched it. The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, wow.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
But I bet you weren't 11.
That's what I was going to say. But for an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
So you said you don't know how it went over?
That's what I said. Yes. He was interested in it. We stopped it a few times and he asked questions. But even this morning, I'm like... What'd you think? Were you thinking about the movie at all? And he's like, not really, no. It's pretty intense, right? The sisters. The scenes with the sisters were like, you know, and there's a suicide in the movie. Like there are some really big, difficult subjects in the movie, obviously. Right. Well, I mean, what's it about?
Prison.
Yeah. It's Stephen King, Mike.
It's tough. Yeah.
Of course it's difficult.
It has some darkness in it. Yeah. There's no question about that. Well, I mean, good. It's one of those things that he'll like bring up to you 3 months from now. You know, maybe something will pop into his head, some imagery from it or something that he took away from it. Who knows, maybe it'll even be when you're out, like I know you love to do on a Saturday or a Sunday, grinding in the yard, working hard, he'll bring you a beer and say, Daddy, I remember that a man feels more like a man working outside if you can have a nice bottle of Suds.
Yes, I look forward to that.
I believe, I like beer. I have never struggled to find a reason to have a beer, but I really do think that when I do yard work, that scene makes me want to have a beer. Like somewhere in my brain, I'm thinking about that and going, I've been out here for an hour and a half, and I know it's only 12:30, but you know.
Yeah.
I think that scene trips a wire in my brain when I have a weed whacker in my hands.
You know what? I think what I was focused on through this movie, and it's really like that is a pivotal moment in the movie when he negotiates with the, what, not the warden, but the assistant, guard. The guard, right. When he negotiates like that, what he, of course, he earns is like his respect. And so now he gets special treatment a little bit, and that manifests with that other guy who was, you know, let's say bothering him. And like that's sort of the lesson I was focused on through the movie is like, okay, so he was able to win over this other guy, and now he's got them. And so he can have this. And then it's now, you know, it's fun. The moment in the movie is funny when you have like the guards from the other prison are lined up to get their taxes done. You know, like, look at this now. Now this guy has, now he has status, you know, because he figured out, I don't know, like, again, it just felt like that's something that might have sort of worked for him to sort of ponder in the movie. But it's a big part of the story.
Yep.
And he was interested in how the letter that, what's the guy's name?
Andy Dufresne.
Andy. Right, that Andy writes Red is hiding in that place late in the movie. Like, how did it get there? Like, how did he? And I said, well, he must have done that after he got out. Am I saying too much about a movie that's 27 years old?
Spoiling it.
Can you spoil the Shawshank Redemption anymore? I hope not. You know, I worry about everything now, so I have to worry about that. You know, person's going to tell me they hadn't seen it.
You're going to get canceled over this, Mike.
They had plans to watch it at 4.
You're in big trouble.
And now,
yeah.
All right. So we're waiting on any hockey news that might come down. We've got Paul coming up at 4. The general manager of the Sabres, Kevin Adams, had a news conference this morning. I don't know why. Why?
Because the draft is tomorrow. It's just what you do, right? You roll your people out, right? The director of amateur scouting was there, and I imagine that's, you know, just to talk about the prospects, the overall depth of the class, drafting for need versus drafting best overall players, long term, short, all the stuff. You know, it's the draft. You know, every team in the league is doing this today.
That's right.
I think.
But couldn't you have answered every question?
Yes, of course.
Like Paul tweeted at one point, the Sabres say they're drafting for the long term.
You don't say.
Like, well, who is not?
Right.
Who is not doing that? So, and he, you know, they didn't talk about trades, which I guess is also not surprising.
No.
You can find this press conference at, again, at the Odyssey app. I think the NFL thing is interesting. I'd like to talk about that too. We'll bounce back and forth today. And Sal is all over this already. We'll have Sal on next hour also. A memo from the league saying that if you have an outbreak among unvaccinated players, there's a specific line drawn throughout this memo, vaccinated versus not, we're not rescheduling your game. You're forfeiting your game.
Well, no, they didn't say we're not rescheduling. They said if we can't reschedule it, right? That's an important distinction. Like,
well,
I was watching Mike Garofalo on NFL Network saying, like, you know, you could still have a Thursday move to a Tuesday like happened last year. Like, they could accommodate, but they're not going to extend the schedule, right? That's clear, right? We've got an 18-week season scheduled with buys, and that's it. They're going to be any tacking anything on at the end. But if we can't conveniently reschedule a game, you will have to forfeit it.
They're saying they don't want to reschedule games. Like, that is an outcome that's new. Like, the forfeit outcome is new.
Yes.
Like, we don't want it. And it's, like, stark the way it's written. You, the team, have no right to move the game. Like, just don't think – don't assume, right? So it's another way of trying to get to the unvaccinated players. Okay, now this is our next move. Now forfeits are possible, and they'll be your fault.
Right. And yeah, it's going to be your fault. And guess what? If your team, the unvaccinated players on your team, are the cause of it, nobody gets paid for that
right.
game either.
Both teams.
Like, so the other team also doesn't get paid.
Right.
So the peer pressure to avoid that outcome, I would think, would have grown exponentially throughout the league. today with that news. And I don't know if the players would have been bracing for that or expecting it or anything. But, I mean, it is it's a stern rebuke to the, you know, the unvaccinated segment of the league, for sure. And, I'm going to be really curious to see, like, where does that leave guys that still don't want to get it? You know, because this basically, for all intents and purposes, what we said on Tuesday, we talked about what Michael Irvin said, like, the league is basically making that, like, boldly telling you, like, you are going to hurt your team. I mean, there's a chance you could. I mean, you also could be unvaccinated and never get COVID and never have to miss any time. But you're going to be tested constantly, so you run the risk of hurting your team, like, severely, not just not being available to play in their game, but if an outbreak is big enough and they can't play their game, you're going to have a loss in the standings. And so, I mean, the stakes are enormous competitively there.
Now, you've said a key thing. If an outbreak is big enough, here's my read. It is no accident, in my opinion, in this memo, that they did not define what an outbreak is. What constitutes an outbreak? How many players? Like, if you had a team, if you had 15, some like respectably high number, 10, 15 players, symptomatic, vaccinated or unvaccinated, or some number of them unvaccinated, right? That's the way this is all going, that they're considered the cause. And it's up to you. You're playing, right? As opposed to forfeiting. Like, mm-hmm. What I think it's important that you don't see a number to quantify what constitutes an outbreak. Because the league will not, in my guess, if I could bet under one half forfeited games, I would do it. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is another challenge by the league that will ultimately not come to fruition. Forfeits. Like, I don't expect that we get there. There could be, there will be positives, right? And there will be unvaccinated players who test positive. There'll be both. But outbreak means what? Like, the Tennessee Titans were how many guys? Maybe up to 20, around that many guys? Is it more than that? How do you remember it?
I don't remember being more than that. I would say somewhere between 15 and 20.
Okay. So they pushed the game back to accommodate Tennessee. Like, you know, they did that. We were hearing about forfeited draft picks and all those sort of things because it was the Bills, right? So we talked about that up. But none of that really happened. It was just that the league pushed the game back, and then eventually they got it in. And this memo pretty much says, we're not doing that. Like, they could still do that. But it's clear here that that's not the plan, that they don't want to do that. But what is an outbreak? What is a spike? How many guys means a spike? Again, not quantified by the league. So that when these situations happen, they don't have to call them spikes and outbreaks and thus forfeit your game. Or even reschedule, but again. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still, I think it's another effort. It is at least this, another effort by the league to get the unvaccinated players' attention. But maybe it'll work, right?
Yeah,
Mark Poloncarz said, we're going to have a full stadium, but you have to be vaccinated to go. And, you know, it wasn't too long after that when that was over. Just a way of trying to get you to get your shots. And that's what this is. So maybe it'll work. I think if it said like 10, Bulldog, you with me on this?
Yep.
Like, if it said,
yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I'm struggling with the rescheduling thing. Cause I don't read it as sternly as you are reading it or interpreting it, that they won't be willing to reschedule games. I read it as, if we cannot reschedule your game, you will have to forfeit. Is how I read it. But we don't have to be hung up on that right now. The point you're making is it's vague, and it's intentionally vague, so that the team, if they have 10 guys and they have to play with 45 guys or 40 guys, they might choose to do that rather than forfeit the game.
Right.
Because there's not a number. They're not saying, if you can't field 40 men or 45 men, to go play this game, then you can't play it at its scheduled time, and if we can't reschedule it, you'll have to forfeit it. So that the team can find their way, you know, whether that's still with the enlarged practice squad or whatever it's going to be, to like get to a number where you can play the game safely, I suppose. I mean, that's probably a part of that too.
Yeah, you're going to have, I mean, even among vaccinated players, you can only have players who are clear.
Right.
And the vaccinated players can return after two negative tests 24 hours apart. You'll have, just like we have in the world, like you'll have vaccinated players test positive.
Sure.
Like that's just something that sometimes in the argument, you sort of feel like, oh, you know, you're not saying that, but you are saying that. We do recognize that. So that will be interesting. Like that could be anybody. And if the timing is wrong, those guys may miss games too. But the unvaccinated player has to be isolated for 10 days and then can return if asymptomatic. The vaccinated player testing positive, even without symptoms, will still have to be isolated for at least 24 hours. Like they right. will still have to leave.
Two negative tests 24 hours apart.
Right. At least 24 hours apart.
For the vaccinated player that has a positive test. Right.
Right. So, you know, I support this repeated effort by the league to wake the other guys up and insist to them that this is important to us and that we're unified in this. And I hope they're successful. I don't think we'll see forfeits. And I also heard that Roger Goodell was in town. Did you hear anybody tell you that?
I did not hear that. No.
Have you read that anywhere? I
no.
have not, but I know my guy wouldn't, my guy's probably right. He's usually right.
Okay.
He wanted to know, why is the commissioner in Buffalo? And I said, I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that. And he's
here
like,
to talk to Cole Beasley.
Maybe.
I'm not reporting that. I admit it. I'm just
maybe.
Was a thing to say there that, you know.
Do you think he visits maybe. Every city in the summer? Maybe?
No. No. He grew up in Chautauqua County. Like maybe he's got a you know, Chautauqua Lake home or something or whatever. And mm-hmm. so he's in the area and he just, you know, I don't know, wanted to go to I don't know where.
I have two great memories of the restaurant he went to last night though. I have two great memories of it. One involves, Tyler Boyd. And, well, not personally.
Uh-huh.
And one involves Tim Murray.
Oh,
anybody
okay.
who knows me, who knows my Tim yep. Murray wine story or my, where
right.
I was the day of the Tyler Boyd game.
The Tim Murray wine story. I thought you were, when you said Tim Murray, I was thinking maybe it was my story with you and Tim Murray. But no, okay, something else.
No, this is a cool... I might get to the point where I want to tell it. I think it might be safe to tell.
Okay.
How many years ago would that have been? Five? Was that 5 years yet? Is there a statute of limitations on that? Who am I asking? I'm in here worried about whether I'm spoiling the Shawshank Redemption. I don't think I'm ready to tell that story. Okay.
No, probably not. No.
Paul Hamilton in 15 minutes on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, Shawshank, right? Is it Figaro? Yes, forgot about that scene before last night watching this movie back. All right, we've got Paul Hamilton coming up in 10 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, always available at 803-0550. We've got Seattle, the expansion draft, the draft tomorrow, and the trade window open. Some moves happening, GMs talking, including the Sabres GM, Kevin Adams. We've got also this memo from the NFL on the vaccine. If I sound distracted, I'm just trying to read this DeAndre Hopkins tweet. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. And that's probably quite a few guys, maybe even stars like DeAndre Hopkins. So that's where we're at on that, right? Like,
yep.
What will these players do here? It's, of course, Cole Beasley. It's probably others. Who knows if it's the quarterback, right? It could be. It's not like he's been vocal to the contrary. So it'll be the beginning of camp, you know, is usually just kind of like ceremonial. It's fun. It's football. Football's back, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be, I think it'll be tense.
Yeah.
It'll be tense. Like maybe all over the league. Certainly here, there's just going to be questions. And, you know, maybe it'll be easily dismissed with we're not talking about it. I'm not talking about it. Don't waste your time. But even that can get tense, you know, especially if it gets pushed. I'll be very curious to hear McDermott the next time he talks. Right, because he was, you know, he raised concern about it, you know, wanted to educate his team about it, and thought getting the vaccine was absolutely the right thing to do. Made a point of saying he and Brandon had it, the owners have it, and so, you know, like, how does he handle it, knowing that he's, you know, got at least one prominent player on his team that seems dead set against it.
Even within the media, I mean, it's a good media question whether or not it's a fair question to ask players. You probably have players referencing HIPAA, which, you know, will be wrong when they do that. But, you know, that's something that you see, so there'll probably be players who do that. And I'm sure there are people in the media who think it's too personal, right? Why is it my business? And then someone else could say what I would say, which is, it is your business here, in my opinion, because their availability is relevant to the season, you know, like with the league drawing such strict lines in terms of what vaccinated versus what unvaccinated means in players. It's absolutely relevant in a football conversation. And, you know, the argument against that is maybe reasonable. So you'll have that. You'll have that debate. It could be really, really wild here in the next few days. But we'll do some more hockey next as Paul joins us, looking ahead to the draft and what might be in the air with Saber trades, if there's anything. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.